understand how to reconcile chapter 51 and chapter 54 of Rambam's Mor Nevuchim. We studied chapter 51 last time, the Rambam's palace analogy, the various levels of Avodas Hashem, the difference between the final step in which one communicates with the Melech versus all the steps leading up. Then we began reading the Rambam in the final chapter, and specifically how he interprets the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu. Let's just read the Pasukim again, and then we'll look at how he explains it. So again, this is, you have it in your source sheets from last week. We have new source sheets for this week, but we're just going to finish up first what we were meant to do last week. So in your source sheets from last week, you should look at page 8, the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu. He Kolamar Hashem, Va'yisalel Chacham b'Chachmaso, Va'yisalel Gibor b'Gvuraso, Va'yisalel Ashir b'Ashro. So the Rambam writes that here we're referring to three types of perfections, and these are three types of perfections that everybody appreciates, the masses appreciate. Everybody understands these as perfections. So the first is Ashir b'Ashro, material perfection. A person acquires wealth, possessions, and this is the lowest of the perfections. However, people don't see it that way because it relies on that which is transient. It's entirely external to the person. My wealth isn't me. All of a person's wealth could be lost at any moment, and then it's gone. So it's the lowest of the possible perfections, though the Rambam notes many people, maybe most people, see it as the highest thing to strive for. That's where they dedicate their lives. The Pasuk continues, Vayishalel hagibor b'gvuraso, physical perfection. A person can be strong, healthy, mighty, capable of performing incredible physical feats. And again, the Rambam says this isn't particularly, it's perhaps slightly greater than the other perfection, but this level too is shared by animals. They could also be fast and strong. Maybe they're faster and stronger than us. So it's clearly not a perfection that a human should strive for. What about the third perfection mentioned here? Al Yishalel Chacham B'Chachmaso. So, it's very interesting. The Rambam translates this not as Chachma in the way that he usually translates Chachma, but rather what people perceive as Chachma. There's probably a very vast difference between what the person that the Rambam would call a Chacham and the person that the masses would see as a Chacham. And this person, and this is the third perfection, this is the greatest of the three mentioned thus far, refers to Midos. In fact, the Rambam is going to tell us that most mitzvos achieve or aim to achieve this goal. And this, before we get there, the Rambam writes in a number of places that midos and character traits allow a person to succeed in society and allow society to run smoothly. In fact, the Rambam writes that the primary aim of mitzvot, this is in 327, it's not on your sheets, is the establishment of good mutual relations among men by removing injustice and creating the noblest feelings. In the Perashat Mishnayos, on the third parak of Sanhedrin, he calls this Tikkun Olam. And by the way, it's not just midos or mitzvot that are ben adam l'chavero. For example, if you look at the end of Hilchos Tmura, the Rambam writes about how ritual mitzvot as well relate to this goal. But this is the third goal. The third, what the pasuk says, Al Yishalel Chacham B'Chachma. So it's referring to moral virtue. And that is still not the greatest of achievements. Again, it's something that's very good. We don't wish to undermine it or minimize it. It is valuable, but it's not the highest perfection. So what then is the highest perfection? So that's where the pasuk continues. Ki im bezos yishalel hanishalal. This is what you should take pride in. Haskel v'yadua osi. You should know me. That's the fourth perfection. Now, does that just refer to intellectual achievements, knowledge of God in the sense of studying philosophy? Or is it more? So that's what we're going to talk about in just a moment. And what the Rambam shows from the end of this pasuk. But before we get there, the Rambam tells us that this idea that I'm telling you, that intellectual perfection is greater even than the third perfection, which is mitzvos. It's not something I made up, the Rambam writes. It's Mefurish in Chazal. And he quotes a Medrash Rabbah, which I think I put on your sheets. Let's see, try on the last page. Yeah, the very last source, bottom of page 10. The Medrash Rabbah says like this. Akasav Echad Omer, V'chol Chafatzim Lo Yishvuba. The Kasav Echad Omer, V'chol Chafatzecha Lo Yishvuba. Chafatzim, Elu Mitzvos U'maisim Tovim. So the word Chafatzim are Mitzvos U'maisim Tovim. Chafatzecha, Elu Avanim Tovim U'mergolios, are physical wealth. Rabbi Yachab Shem Rav Tanchum, Barabbi Chai Chia, Chafatzim, meaning Mitzvos U'maisim Tovim, and Chafatzecha, Lo Yishvuba, Kim Bezos Yishalal HaMishalal, Haskel V'yado Osi Ken Yashem, Osa Chesed U'mishbat V'gomer. Meaning to say, the Pasuk, the Medrash, is interpreting this Pasuk in the same way that he interpreted it. That the Pasuk is telling us that the fourth perfection, Haskel V'yadoa Osi, is superior to the first, second, and third perfection. What's the first, second, and third perfection? Chafatzim and Chafatzecha. Meaning to say material wealth, physical wealth, and even what the Medrash says is mitzvos u'maisim tovim. So the Rambam writes that Chazal also make this point that the fourth perfection, haskel v'yadoa osi, is superior to even mitzvos and maisim tovim. So that's the fourth perfection. However, then the Rambam tells us something very important, which is that it's not enough to just have haskel v'yadoa osi in the sense of intellectual knowledge and apprehension of God. That is not what the ultimate aim is. How do I know that? Because the pasuk continues. Haskel v'yadoa osi ki ani Hashem, osa chesed u'mishpat ba'aretz, ki va'eila chafatz di'ne'um Hashem. So what is the end of the pasuk telling us? The end of the pasuk is telling us that the fourth goal will and must include emulating HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Oseh Chesed Tzedakah Mishpat Baretz. Baretz, the Rambam writes, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's, referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hashkacha on the world. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is someone who is Oseh Chesed Tzedakah Mishpat Baretz. We are all the beneficiaries constantly of his Chesed Tzedakah Mishpat. And we have to emulate that. Ki ba'ela chafatzti ne'um Hashem. Now, what's very important to appreciate is that the Rambam doesn't just say that this is like a fifth perfection. And moreover, it's very confusing, right? Chesed Mishpat, these seem to be the third perfection. Right? So he said, again, there are three perfections. Perfection number three is moral perfection. It includes mitzvos. It's midos tovo, seemingly. Then there's a greater perfection, haskal yadosi. And then he seems what? To be going back to the third perfection? So what's going on here? So, to understand this, clearly we have to appreciate the point that the fourth perfection is something different. And it's chesed staka mishpat because we are imitating HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's very similar to the Sifrei that we saw the Rambam quote, the previous source. We saw him quote it last time in the Mitzvah of Avas Hashem in the Sefer HaMitzvos, that tells us, Shemitoch kach atam makir es misha amar v'hayah olam umedabek v'drachav. In other words, Yediyas Hashem is something that's meant to lead towards what? Medabek v'drachav. To be like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not Yediyas Hashem just for Yediyas Hashem. And let's read the conclusion of the Rambam, which I think emphasizes this, and we'll try to explain it a little better. V'achar kach, this is the very end of the Moren Vuchen. And the end of this interpretation, you could find it on page 9, probably. Yeah, bottom, towards the end of the Hebrew. V'achar kach, the last couple sentences. V'achar kach hishlim ha'inyan. V'amar, ki ba'elo chafatz dinum Hashem. V'amar, b'chesed b'mishpat utstaka chafatz dinum Hashem. Ratzalomar, shekavanasi sheyetze mikem chesed mishpat utstaka ba'aretz. Kemo shebi'arnu b'yod gemol midos. Ki ha'kavana lihidamos bahem b'shenelech al darkam. Im kein, ha'kavana shezachra b'zeh ha'pasuk hu bi'uro she'shlemos ha'adam asher bo yishalel b'emes hu la'agia el ha'sagas Hashem kefi ha'yicholas v'ladas hashgachaso b'vruav b'hamtziu osam v'anhigo osam. So, to know Hashem to the extent possible, to understand his hashgacha on the world, Eichi, how is it? V'laleches acharei hasagahi, and to act based off of that understanding. V'drachim sheyit yiskaven ban tamid lasos chesed u'mishpat utstaka lihidamos bepeulos Hashem. Kemosha bi'arnu pa'amim b'zeh ma'amar. Right? And this is really a beautiful conclusion of Moren Vuchen because, as the Rambam writes, it unifies the book. Now, I guess, before I explain what I think the pshat is, it's worthwhile to know that many, many people are bothered by this chapter. Understandably, because they see that it contradicts much of what the Rambam has written until this point. Namely, that they claim that most of Moren Vuchen would imply that intellectual achievements are the ultimate perfection. For example, in Chelek Gimel Perek Chav Zayin, he writes clearly the perfection of the soul certainly does not include any action or good conduct, but only knowledge. So there's an emphasis on the intellectual realm. And yet here, in the concluding chapter of his work, he emphasizes action. And that would seem to be a stira to what he said until now. But the answer, I think, is not that. The answer is that the fact that he's acting with chesed and staka and mishpat reflects the fact that he has a correct understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that his understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu has been integrated into his very essence and is something that controls and is reflected by his actions. It's become a part of him. It's not just action for the sake of action, but his yediyas Hashem is now reflected in his behavior. Just like Lamashal, last week we talked about how the Rambam writes in many places that cognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that doesn't lead to Avas Hashem is erroneous cognition. So too, apprehension of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that doesn't lead to Chesed, Tzedakah, U'Mishpat is incorrect apprehension. And thus, after a work that's talked so much about the importance of apprehending HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of emphasizing Kiyim b'zos yishalal ha-mishalal haskel v'yadoa usi. But we can't forget the end of the pasuk. Ki ani Hashem osa chesed tzedakah u'mishpat ba'aretz ki va'eilo chafatzti ne'um Hashem. If someone, on the other hand, has studied philosophy and achieved an incredible level of understanding HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but still he has flawed midos, so obviously he hasn't integrated that understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He hasn't become a godly person. It is true, as the Rambam writes in Yisod HaTorah and Mor Nevuchim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the knower, the knowledge, the known. All that's true. But as much as that's true, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is also Osa Chesed Tzedakah U'Mishpat Ba'aretz. So if I as a person am not Osa Chesed Tzedakah U'Mishpat Ba'aretz, then I have not really understood HaKadosh Baruch Hu because I'm not emulating HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And of course we know that the Rambam understands in Hilchos Deos that the mechayev for things like Chesed is the mitzvah of Halachta B'drachav, of trying to be like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And someone who remains aloof, therefore, he's understood HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but remains aloof from society. He doesn't contribute. He's not Osa Chesed U'Mishpat Ba'aretz. So he hasn't really achieved true perfection. Now, we could go back and try to address the question that we just asked, which is, what's the difference between the third and the fourth perfection? After all, seemingly, both the third and the fourth perfection seem to relate to Chesed, right? And why isn't the Chesed Tzedakah U'Mishpat a fifth level? So, one possibility is actually what I originally thought, was that the third perfection isn't necessarily referring to midos like Chesed, but it's referring to character traits that allow a person to succeed in society and allow society to function smoothly. And these aren't inherently valuable because if there were no other people around, you wouldn't really need them, right? But because we live in a society, we have to have those midos, and that's the third perfection, as opposed to Chesed, Tzedakah, U'Mishpat, which are inherently valuable. The problem with this explanation is because, first of all, he calls them moral virtues. Seems like it's more than just practical character traits. And second of all, because like we noted, the Rambam writes most mitzvot relate to this category. So I think the pshat is, and I saw subsequently the Rav says a similar pshat. I'll say it the way he says it. It's much better than me. You could see this in the Rav's a couple of years ago, Professor Lawrence Kaplan published notes, and he annotated them from the Rav's Shiurim in Revel on Mor Nevuchim. The Rav taught in Revel, and somebody took somebody's notes. And this is basically, the Rav spends a lot of time on this chapter. And I guess, unlike others who claimed that this chapter is sort of doesn't necessarily reflect the Rambam's true view, he said the opposite. This really encapsulates the Rambam's true view. And basically, the way he says it is that the third perfection is someone who keeps the halacha just in the sense of following the practical law. He learns the Shulchan Aruch, and he does what it says. He's never... It's a pre-theoretical ethics, meaning to say he is ethical because he follows what the halacha says. And if you follow what the halacha says, you'll be an ethical person. You read Chosh and Mishpat, you follow what it says, you're going to be an ethical person. The fourth perfection reflects someone who has achieved a yediyah v'Kadosh Baruch Hu, haskel v'yadoa usi, and having achieved that, it's, again, a post-theoretical ethics. It's ethics that's an imitation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that stems from his understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'ashkachaso, and then allowing that to be manifest in his very own behavior. And that is a totally different madrega, because fulfilling the halacha and being a kind, ethical, just person is an act of identifying with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not just one in which we do what we're said, what we're told to do, we follow the Shulchan Aruch, but it's an act of being misdamet to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's the difference between the fourth perfection and the third. Perhaps to tie it into this week's parsha, the Rambam writes in Chelech Aleph Perek Tes Vav, what is the meaning of Yaakov's dream? The angels go up, which means the prophets ascend the ladder. They apprehend HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the greatest possible way that a human can achieve. But then they go down to this world. They contribute to the world. The Rambam writes, that's the difference between a philosopher and a prophet. A Navi, as opposed to a philosopher who remains, for whom everything remains theoretical, is someone involved in the world. So the prophets go up, as it were, they ascend the ladder, they understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the extent possible, but then they go down to the world. Like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they're Oseh Chesed Stako Mishpat Ba'aretz. And as the pasuk concludes, Kiva Eilach Afatzti Ne'um Hashem. So what the Rambam is telling us is that the fourth perfection is someone who achieves Yediyah V'Kadosh Baruch Hu, Haskel V'Yadosi, but then that transforms him into a person that's like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Osa Chesed Tzedakah and Mishpat Baretz. Yes?
Related to what you said, what are the parameters, I guess, of Chesed Tzedakah and Mishpat? That seems pretty vague. So, I mean, I know what they translate to, but are they referring to the mitzvah? Are they referring to going above and beyond the mitzvah?
Both.
But
I can't answer that in 1 minute. That's like... that's Kol Tar Kula. That's
exactly what I'm asking. Would we define, would we characterize all of the mitzvah under Chesed Tzedakah and Mishpat?
That is the perfection a person is meant to achieve. And many mitzvos surely relate to that. The point that the Rambam is saying is that there's a difference between someone who does mitzvos without having achieved that fourth perfection versus someone who does the mitzvos having achieved the fourth perfection. They're qualitatively different.
Is this similar to the Kovot HaLevavot, where it says that somebody who's doing the actions without having the proper kavana beforehand,
there's certainly a related distinction. Yeah.
Is the rough distinction between the third and fourth at perfection, is that like really the same distinction that the Rambam makes in Shemayim Prakim? For example, with Moshel Baruchai, is someone who's like, who does the mitzvahs out of the nexus character, or someone who does the mitzvahs out of
overcoming his
work?
Maybe. I hear the connection.
It sounds to me exactly the same.
Okay, I hear. I mean, the basic point that the Rambam says over there about the difference in Chukim and Mishpatim wouldn't be relevant here. But yeah. I hear that. Yes?
I have two questions. First, somewhat similar to what was asked earlier, but I understand how the Force Mitzvah relates to one very particular, the final perfection relates to one very particular Mitzvah, the Mitzvah of Halacha B'Bracha. But is there any sense beyond that in which it relates to all of the others, or are the others intended by the Rambam to be perfection leading up to being able to be Mekayim B'Halacha B'Bracha? The Rav speaks about it as relating back to halacha. So is that
right? I think the Rav understood that it's not, if you wish, it's halacha b'dracha very broadly speaking. Meaning to say, just like the Rambam wrote that the third perfection corresponds to mitzvos umaisim tovim. As he says from the Medrash Bereishis Rabbah, so too the fourth. So when the Rambam, though he calls the third perfection moral virtue, he says that corresponds to mitzvos and maisim tovim more broadly, and I think the same could be said about the fourth perfection. But he doesn't spell that out. I think, if you wish to put it a little differently, it's a simen as much as a siba. His moral perfection is a simon to his correctly having understood HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why Haskel V'Yadosi is related to Chesed Tzedakah and Mishpat.
So my second question was going to be, are we dealing with a simon or a siba here, but more particularly, the fact that you are, for the Rambam, the fact that you're Mekayim Chesed Mishpat Tzedakah Baruch, so you're Medaber to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is that just a simon that you have come to know HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or is Rambam understanding that as some element of knowing HaKadosh Baruch Hu?
It's an interesting question. It could be both are true, but it's something to think about. So now I'd like to just go back to one point here. Last week we read about the various groups of people surrounding and entering the city and the palace, and we read about the extraordinary achievement of the final step. Rambam describes people like Avraham Avinu and Moshe Rabbeinu as being capable of engaging in this world while never being Mesiach Das from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And of course, that is a very, very high madrega. And what does that mean for us? And how do we get there? Or can we get there? Maybe it's just totally not shaykh to us. So the Rambam addresses this. And let's look back for a moment to his comments on 351, which again are in the earlier part of your sheets from last week. So again, remember the highest class of person is the person who never is Mesiach Das from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So how do you reach that? Are you just supposed to sit around philosophizing all day? Is that going to get you there? So listen to what the Rambam tells us, how we got there. Vida. Ki chol ma'asa ha'avodos halalu. Kekriyas ha'Torah, ha'tfila, v'asiyah shar ha'mitzvos. Ein tachlisan, ela, shetuchshar bihis askos b'mitzvosav yis'ale, milasok b'nyanei ha'olam, ki ilu his askos bo yis'ale, lo bezulaso. Says the Rambam, you have to keep in mind that basically religious acts, learning Torah, davening, doing mitzvos, serve exclusively as the means to cause you to occupy your mind with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and free you from your worldly business. Basically, when we do mitzvos, we are connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. probably in this paragraph he's referring primarily to mitzvos bein adam lamakom, as you see from his examples. And the primary goal of mitzvos bein adam lamakom, and this addresses the question that I forgot someone asked last week, right? What's the role of mitzvos according to the Rambam? If after all, understanding HaKadosh Baruch Hu is such a important thing, right? The Rambam in describing the sixth, the person who enters the palace, enters the room with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? A focus doesn't seem to be on mitzvos at all. So what is the purpose of mitzvos? So the Rambam writes that mitzvos allow a person to focus on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. However, the Rambam then writes that this will only happen if you actually direct your thoughts towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and especially while doing the mitzvos. V'lachein, im ata mispalel b'na'anua sfasecha ufanecha el hakir u'mechashev b'memkarcha u'mekhecha. That's, I wish I could say I don't do this, but if when you're davening, your lips are moving, but you're thinking about business or all the other things you need to do that day, the karis haTorah bilshoncha, the libcha bevinyan beisacha, or while you're learning the Torah, you're thinking about your house, miblilis bonein b'masha atakore, without thinking deeply about that which you're reading. The chen calls mancha ata osa mitzvah, ata osa oscha be'evarecha. And likewise, whenever you're doing any maisa mitzvah, there are rote acts with your evarim. Kimi shechofer gluma bekarka, o chotev eitzim min ayar, meblilis bonein be'inyan oso hamaisa, velo mimish. But the lo ma tachliso, you do the mitzvos like you chop down a tree. You're just doing the actions. You're not thinking about the maisa mitzvah. You're not thinking about who is mitzvah the mitzvah. You're not thinking about the goal or the purpose of the mitzvah. Al tachshov shigata la tachlis. You're just doing the maisa. That's not the goal. El tia az karov lemishanem arbahem. Karov ata befihem v'rachok mekil yoseihem. Pasuk in Yirmiyahu, that you're close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in your mouth, but you're far from HaKadosh Baruch Hu in your insides. It's all rote, it's all superficial. So the Rambam proposes a plan. How do you get inside the palace? How do you meet the king? So the first step, the Rambam says, is you should have kavana when you say Shema. And Shmona Esrei, like this says in Halacha. It's not like a person who decides that they're going to think about a Kadosh Baruch Hu constantly could possibly do that in one step. It's a process that takes many years. So you start with the basics. You start with trying to have kavana for Shema. Try to have kavana for Shmona Esrei. A couple minutes a day. And then, as you get better at that, you begin to have more kavana while saying brachos, while learning. To make sure that at least during those moments, when you're doing mitzvos, you're thinking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then, when you've practiced that successfully for many years, you'll begin to be able to think of HaKadosh Baruch Hu while you're eating, while you're drinking, while you're bathing, while you're conversing with your wife and your children and others, such that you're getting closer and closer to the Madrega of constantly thinking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Rambam emphasizes, especially when you're lying awake at night, you should be careful not to squander those precious moments thinking about anything but HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because that's an incredible opportunity. It's quiet. You're not doing anything else? So think about a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And eventually, hopefully, as you get better and better in doing that, if you're thinking about a Kadosh Baruch Hu while you're doing mitzvos, so then you'll begin to think of a Kadosh Baruch Hu at all times, and you'll get further and further into the palace. You'll connect to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, not just with your mind, not just with your body, but as an integrated whole. So this brings us to the end of last week's shiur, and I have the Maamar Kamos for today's shiur, which I'll give out, but first I'll take some questions.
I didn't even understand what you're learning.
So it's a very interesting question. It's a good question. This is a major discussion in Nefesh HaChaim, among others. The way this idea is expressed by many thinkers is that obviously, to some degree, we have to distinguish between what you're consciously focusing on and what you're subconsciously aware of as well. And sometimes you also have to draw them back into balance when at times. So, for example, if you look at the Bir Halacha in Siman Aleph of Shulchan Aruch, when he talks about the Sheish Mitzvos Tmidios, so he writes about how it's a mitzvah to think about all these things constantly, at all times. So it's hard for me to imagine that that means to consciously think about all six mitzvos at all times, because when you're learning Bava Kamma, so you have to focus a lot on Bava Kamma if you're going to understand the Gemara. But it's a lot about setting intention, and sometimes, as Nefesh HaChaim writes, returning, stopping for a moment to make sure that you're keeping that intention. So even to stop learning for a moment or two, to think about a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and refocus yourself is something that's valuable. It could be that when a person has reached a even higher madrega, this is something that's certainly not shayach to me, there's less of a stira. In other words, you could be thinking about Bava Kamma and thinking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu simultaneously, and there's no stira. You don't have to take your mind off of HaKadosh Baruch Hu when you're focusing on Tosfos. There are descriptions of the Arizal learning and how he was able to do that. But I think for most of us, so halavai, we should be able to do what the Nefesh HaChaim describes, which is to set intention, and then it's true when you're working on Tosfos, you're not actively in a conscious sense thinking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but then should you have Hesach Hadas in a certain level, returning every so often? Look at the Nefesh HaChaim, see what he thinks. He doesn't give a time frame, and I think it depends on the person and the like. You know, it should be more often than when you check your phone. Yes?
So, in general, when the Rambam talks about how you should be constantly contemplating Hashem,
yes.
How active is that?
That's what he just asked.
With learning, I can understand because it's very easy to have in the back of your mind. This is all.
It's not so easy at all.
Comparatively.
I would think it's the hardest time during learning. It's the easiest time everything else. Because learning requires the most mental energy. And therefore, it's hardest. It's much easier to think about a Kadosh Baruch Hu when you're washing the dishes than when you're learning, right? So I think that's.
But for other tasks, maybe not like washing the dishes that require a lot of concentration in a totally different field.
I think the same basic parameters are applicable here, which is that to the extent that you're able to think about it actively, you should. And to the extent that you can't, you should. It should be in the back of your mind, and every so often also reminding yourself. Right? Kol ma'asecha yu l'shem shamayim. So as the Rambam explains and elaborates in Shmona Prakim and elsewhere, so that means everything you do in the world should be l'shem shamayim. And that's not just a matter of kavana, like I am going to work, I'm eating lunch, l'shem shamayim, but it's also relates to this idea of connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through our seichel. However, again, when you read this Rambam, it's quite clear that this is an extraordinary madrega. You know, when he talks about the people who are able to engage in the world while not being Mesiach Das from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so who's he describing? He's describing Moshe Rabbeinu, he's describing Avram Avinu, he's describing the Avos, right? So, obviously, that madrega of someone who's never Mesiach Das is something that we should strive for, but at the same time we should appreciate it. Something that's extraordinarily extraordinary. It's not something that's that shaykh for most people. The point, though, that the Rambam emphasizes is that there are many madregos, and everybody can start wherever they are and build their way up. And the Rambam, as I said, gives very practical guidelines. The way you build yourself up is by starting with kavana when you're davening, and then having kavana when you're doing mitzvos, and not just when davening. Again, the Rambam is very, you know, down to earth, right? Start with one pasuk, Shema. If you could do that, so then work your way up from there. And obviously there are many madregos. The point of the Rambam saying, though, is that you can't expect to, you know, go from that person wandering around the city to the person inside the throne room in one moment. It's an avoda that takes years and years and years of hard work. And you're mala, madrega achar madrega. Yes?
What does the Rambam mean, I think?
What he says. Again, there's more, but I think that brings us to our next topic, today's topic. No, it does. It does. You'll see. What I want to talk about today, and I suppose now next week, though I think we probably don't meet next week. So, do we meet next week? No. Well, we must meet the week after.
First class is not here.
In 2 weeks, also.
In 2 weeks. Two weeks.
There's what?
Not in 2 weeks.
Okay. Okay. Anyway, we'll start today. We'll see how far we got. I want to talk about a very important topic in the Rambam. we keep on talking about knowing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, thinking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what can we and can't we know of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we're going to begin with a discussion of positive attributes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Rambam proves in chapters 50 through 60 in the first section of the Mar Nevuchim that attributing positive attributes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whether they're essential attributes or accidental attributes, contradict his oneness and incorporeality. For example, if I say HaKadosh Baruch Hu is kind, merciful, even though we just read that in the Pasuk, we'll talk about that. If I say HaKadosh Baruch Hu is kind or merciful or all-knowing or all-powerful, that introduces plurality insofar as it implies these qualities are separate attributes. In other words, there's him and his kindness, his mercy, his power, his knowledge, and that is a stira to Achdus Hashem. It also contradicts logic. If we were to say, for example, that God is the most knowledgeable being, then we're placing God into two genres, the genus of being and the genus of those that are knowledgeable. And in so doing, we indicate that those genres exist prior to and are more inclusive than God himself, which would also be heretical. And if we try to avoid that conclusion by saying that he's a composite of both of those things, of knowledge and God, and there's something that keeps them together, so then again, we're implying that there's something ontologically prior to God, and that too is false. Also, he writes that if we say that he is the most powerful being or the wisest of beings, so we're implying that his wisdom somehow resembles our wisdom. His power resembles our power, right? Because he is the most powerful of all beings. So we're powerful. We're like a little powerful. And he is the most powerful. And there's that sada shava, or the same thing with wisdom, which is also wrong. So is there any way to describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So the Rambam writes through negative attributes. In other words, expressing our knowledge of God not by attributing to him what he has, but describing what he isn't. So we can't say that God exists, but we can say he's not non-existent. That's a big compliment. We can't say God is wise, but we could say God is not ignorant. Now, even that, the Rambam says, isn't so precise. First of all, like we said, it's not too much of a compliment. You know, if I say to someone, you're not so dumb, they might get offended. But it's also not precise, because they imply a degree of complexity in God. God is neither this or that, which is also false. But in a sense, that's the best we could do. And the Rambam writes that, and I guess we all appreciate this, that we need some way of describing HaKadosh Baruch Hu so we could relate to him. Last week we described extensively about the importance of having a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if we're commanded to love him, to fear him, to pray to him, to declare his oneness, we have to have some conception. And so the Rambam's first answer is that these traits that the Torah uses to refer to God, we just quoted the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu, for example, Yud Gimel Midos, etc. So these are all forms of negative theology. So when we say Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, what we really mean to say is there's no multiplicity in God's being. When we say HaKadosh Baruch Hu is powerful, what we really mean is God is not lacking in power. And moreover, by using the negative formulation, so we're acknowledging that we really have no insight into his essence whatsoever. In other words, when I say God is not lacking in power, I don't imply that I understand his essence. Whereas if I say he's powerful, then I might be indicating that. The second mahalich is that when we refer to God's attributes, we're referring to the way in which we perceive him in relationship to the world. So, essentially, this is what the Rambam calls attributes of actions. So, they have nothing to do with his essence. They have nothing to do with him. But rather, they reflect the effects of his divinity. So, for example, when I say God is merciful, I mean to say that the order of nature, which God created, exhibits merciful characteristics. And when I say he's angry, I'm saying that the same thing. It's not that God has similar characteristics as we do, But the effects of God's actions resemble traits we possess. Or to put it a little differently, if a human were to do nice things, we would call him nice. So since we experience the chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or the rachamim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we call him Rachum V'Chanun. That's not to say he is Rachum V'Chanun, but these are attributes of actions. The Rambam writes, that's what happened with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Moshe in Har Sinai. Moshe Rabbeinu says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hareini nas kevodecha, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, V'ra'isas achorai, ufanai lo yera'u. What does that mean? You shall see my back, not my front. It means my front is my essence. You can't understand my essence, but you could see my back, meaning to say you could see the consequences of the effects that flow from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, again, when we praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu by describing him, despite HaKadosh Baruch Hu's being fundamentally undescribable, first of all, there's a religious necessity to do this. And moreover, you should understand those praises of as either indirect in the sense of negative or indirect in the sense of reflecting his actions. But we must always remember that he is unknowable. And that's why David HaMelech, the Rambam says, said lecha dumia tehila. The greatest praise to you is silence. Dumia. Lecha dumia tehila. What does that mean? Because in a sense, any praise we give of you is taking away from you. Anything we say is insufficient. It's false. It's necessary, perhaps, but false. Now, see, there's a lot of questions, and we're going to spend some time trying to understand this. So it's possible I'll answer your questions as we go through our presentation, but if I don't, you'll remind me at the end. And maybe I'll have answers, maybe not. Maybe I'll just ignore them then, push you off again. Anyway, I'd like to make one caveat and then finish off with a question which you'll have 2 weeks to think about. It's a hard question, so you'll need 2 weeks. That's probably why they canceled next week. According to Rambam, is it correct to say HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us? So, if you read those chapters in the Rambam, you might come away with the impression that it's not. Obviously, again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't hate us, but because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not shayach to any emotion. If you look at the second footnote in Uvikashta Misham, the Rav strongly seeks to rebuff that, what he calls michshol. He writes, it's not only false, it's heretical. Anyone who would say that Judaism commands the individual to love God, but does not promise his reciprocal love, is a heretic. The Rav writes, a rudimentary knowledge of scripture in Rambam highlights the erroneousness of this reading. Thus, there are many times where the Torah emphasizes HaKadosh Baruch Hu's love for us. Last week's Haftorah was just one of them. And we have a whole bracha in Birkas Kriya Shema, Ava Rabba, describing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's eternal love, which he loves his nation. Let's take a look at the Rambams. We have to at least touch our source sheets from today. The top left, you'll have a couple of passages where the Rambam emphasizes HaKadosh Baruch Hu's love for us. Umeavas Hashem osanu, umi shamro es hashvua l'avam avinu, asa Moshe Rabbeinu Rabban shal kol neviim v'shlucho. In Hilchos Tshuva, Gdola Tshuva, Shemekarebes es Adam l'shchina, Emesh hayezeh sanui lifnei amakom u'meshukatz u'meruchak v'to'eva, v'hayom hu ahu v'nechmad karu v'yedid. The Rambam calls the second book of Mishneh Torah Sefer Ava, reflecting the two-way love affair between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. According to the Rav, the Rambam's perspective differed substantially from Aristotle's. Love, an Aristotelian philosophy, at least with respect to God, is one way. The world yearns for the prime mover, but there is no reciprocal love. Judaism, according to the Rambam, definitively rejects such a notion. Even as it denies positive character traits, the reciprocal love between us and our Creator is fundamental to Avodas Hashem. Now, we're out of time, and the Rav doesn't explain in that footnote how that's possible. So we'll try to work on that a little bit next time. The question I want you to think about is the following. We talked about how corporeality and belief in corporeality is absolute heresy. One of the, we don't even, you know, anyone, the Rambam writes that someone who doesn't accept God's incorporeality is a kofer. It's one of the Yud Gimel Ikar Emunah. Someone who doesn't believe in it is no chelek in Olam Haba. He's not part of Klal Yisrael and the like. Because he has an absolute false conception of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. His conception of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so false that the God that he thinks he believes in doesn't actually exist. And the God that exists, he doesn't believe in. What about someone who believes in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but believes that he has character traits? Is such a person a kofer? The Rambam writes, seemingly, that God's unity equally implies his incorporeality and the impossibility of positive character traits. So is there a difference? If you take a look at the Makoros that I gave you today, you'll see some evidence in both directions for both possibilities. And Bezrus Hashem, that's what we're going to be working on next time. And in general, not just that, but generally, trying to have a better understanding of what exactly it is that we're capable of understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What can we understand and what can't we understand? What do we seek to understand and what is beyond our capacity of understanding? Everyone should have a wonderful Shabbos. Shkayach.